presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Landed together from remote galaxies.
You listen to episode 153 of the Let's Go Comic Show. We talk about comics, comic movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate them. Part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
And we're not alone today. Today, friends, we have a rad friend.
We got rad friends. Rad friends, rad friends.
Boom, back on the show. So you're no longer a guest. You're no longer a guest. Gabe Chang is with us again. He's now a rad friend. You've elevated. Yes. So Gabe's been on before, and he was talking about his Kickstarter for Formali. So hopefully some of y'all backed that and were able to be a part of that and read that. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, because there's still more of Formali coming. But we're going to talk about not something else specifically, but you may have heard him as well, because he has another Lousy Millennium podcast where they talk about Futurama. And I know we talked about that in the show before. So anyways, Gabe Chang, thank you for being on our show again. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, guys. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, man. We're double shipping this week. We are double shipping Kickstarter shows.
Yeah, you're putting out content. Yeah, that's the name of the game.
It is a crazy week. So yeah, our episode that came out earlier in the week was with David Pepos, and he was talking about his book, The OZ. So go back that, listen to
which
the show.
Which looks awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
That definitely. Kickstarter blew up. It was crazy to watch.
Okay. Can we just jump into that? So you're doing a Kickstarter. Absolutely. and that, you know, for your Kickstarter to, like, you know, to meet your demand, you know, what you're asking for the day of, that's really cool. You know, yeah. Like, and you know, you're just like, I think that's something you can celebrate, like, you know, for everybody. Cause you know, you're out there, you know, trying to create and get your stuff done. But like, I was really happy. I was like, man, you beat that in like, I feel like beating it like it's a game. It's not really a game, but it's like, man, it
achievement
must feel good
unlocked.
To get your, yeah, unlocked. There you go. It must feel good to, I don't know, like get that Kickstarter. So yeah. Now let's talk about why you're here. First off, I feel like I'm really amped right now. I did have some ice cream, so I feel like that's why I'm so excited right now. So Gabe, tell us about why you're here on this show right now.
Well, I'm doing a Kickstarter right now. I'm doing my fourth Kickstarter, and it is for my second self-published comic. It's a short story one-shot called Love at First Bite. It's about a capricious young woman named Alina who just broke up with her ex-boyfriend and tries to get back at him, you know, win the breakup, as it were, by becoming a vampire and rubbing his face in it. So it's a romantic comedy with vampires. It's got heart humor and an army of pint-sized vampire demon imps. So it's my first attempt at comedy in comic book form too. So my other book that you mentioned, For Molly, it's very dramatic. It's an action adventure story. It's a longer story. We just did the Kickstarter for issue 3 of 4. This one, it's a short story. It's a one shot, and it's a romantic comedy. And I'm really excited about it. I really love this character. I really love the artist that I'm working with. Her name is Lisa Menegel. She did some great work. She did a lot of cool stuff that are part of the Kickstarter rewards. So yeah, I'm here spreading the word because I'm really, really proud of this Kickstarter. I didn't fund in 2 hours like David Pepos did, but I you know, honestly, I was watching that and I was so excited because first of all, David is a great guy. I've met him at a couple of cons, and he was super, super forthcoming with advice and, you know, talking to me about getting started in comics and doing all that stuff. Really great guy. But also, you know, rising tide lifts all ships. And
yeah.
How many of those people, I bet, that were giving on Kickstarter were, you know, first time Kickstarter users. And now they're like, oh, what else is on Kickstarter? You know, and that's going to, you know, boost the ecosystem. That's going to bring more people and make comics more legitimate on Kickstarter, which means that I have a larger group to market to. And that's super cool. And so, you know, the same thing for Scott Snyder. I don't know Scott Snyder. I've never met him.
His was so crazy.
That was nuts. But I was very psyched for David this week.
Yeah. Well, but that being said, you hit your goal too, which is really
cool. I did.
So how did that feel?
It felt really great. Really great. It was a week into the campaign. We still have a week to go. And I'm just really happy that people seem to be responding. I mean, it was a little bit of an experiment for me to put out a short story one shot. I didn't know if people were going to respond to that. And I've gotten a pretty big response so far, and I've gotten a lot of love and support from other creators as well, and also people like yourselves, you know, other people in the ecosystem, podcasters and things like that. And so it's really, really cool. It's like I said, it's a new endeavor for me. So mm-hmm. anytime like a new endeavor like works, it's just a great feeling.
Yeah. And again, I think it's a fun idea. I wanted to go back to the whole, like, I didn't really grow up reading like comics, you know, that were like relational, you know. I think maybe yeah. with Justice League International, that was a huge thing for me. And there was a lot of relationship type mm-hmm. of thing. So maybe there is a little bit of that, but I have fun reading it. So why did you want to do like what prompted you to get into like a relational type of thing? Like, hey, why do I want to do dating in LA really sucks. Like,
yeah, that's the tagline.
what prompted that?
You know, I am the type of person that, you know, I think that I've read a lot of really good slice of life comics, but I'm not personally the demo for that. I really like stories that are like, okay, this is everything about our world, everything about, you know, the reality that we currently live in. But one thing is different, and then we see the ripple effect of that thing. So for For Molly, it is that the main character discovers that there is a hidden society of people that are living off the grid in the New Jersey forest that are at war with dogs that are able to talk, and all dogs are able to talk. It's just that they didn't want to talk to him his whole life. So he discovers that dogs are able to talk. They're at war with humans in the New Jersey forest, and his sister is in danger, and he needs to save her from that danger. So that's the one thing that changes in the ripple effects from it. And so that I applied that to that same kind of thing that I like to see in comics, that I like to write about personally, to dating and to a vampire situation. It's like, what would happen if, you know, the one thing that was different was that there are vampires and you could easily swipe right on a vampire and be on a date with a vampire, you know, this very evening.
Yeah.
And you wanted to use that to get back at your ex-boyfriend and use that as kind of, I don't want to give too much away about the story. It is a short story, but it is as being kind of a metaphor for certain things in a relationship. So that's where that came from. And so I was noodling around with vampire ideas, and I wrote out an outline for this story. And even in the outline form, I just really fell in love with my main character. And you know, if a writer isn't in love with their main character, then how are you going to get a reader to be in love with it? So that's kind of a mantra that I have, that, you know, you have to love your main characters. You have to love all your characters, but I really fell in love with Alina as a character. You know, she's capricious. Like I said, she's very foolhardy. She's subject to flights of fancy, and this time it's gotten her in a bit of trouble. And you know, and she's, you know, she didn't do it maliciously. She did it because she felt like she was in a good place after her breakup, but really she wasn't. And it leads to some humorous consequences. And like I said, an army of vampire imps that takes over Los Angeles. So.
That's a fun twist on like the archetype of vampire stories too. Like it's always like this overtly, like it's usually darker. It's usually like, you know what I mean? Like you have like some like darker aspects to it, and to flip that on its head and be like, no, it's actually this really foolhardy, like flights of fancy person that enters into this world. I think that I'm excited. Like just even the art style and stuff you have in the preview pages up on the Kickstarter is looking good, man. Like I'm really excited to see. Justin and I call those wrinkles in a story. Like when we look for like, what's the one thing that kind of like sets things slightly off, and then kind of you get to explore that and see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, that's the exact aim. I mean, like, and it's, I don't want to necessarily elevate my work to this status, but I mean, like, are you guys watching the What We Do in the Shadows TV show?
No, but I love the movie, and I haven't, I just saw, like, I think it was on like iTunes, I was scrubbing through like the TV shows, and I saw like, oh, I just need to get into that show.
It's really, really good. But it's a different take on vampire mythos. Mm-hmm. It's parodying vampire mythos mm-hmm. and vampire stuff like the movie does, but there's a totally different take to it too. Like there's a character that's an energy vampire. He's become like the most popular character on the show because he doesn't drink people's blood. He walks around in the day and he like bores people to death and feeds on their energy. And so like that's the new
I know wrinkle, a lot of those people.
The new take. Yeah, exactly. And that's why that character is so popular, because everybody knows somebody like that.
Yeah.
And it's on its second season, right? Like
finished its second season.
Yeah. I was actually gonna bring that up because I was gonna say like two of my favorite type of like vampire, like you know, off the regular base type of stories has been, you know, What We Do in the Shadows. I thought that movie was hilarious, and I love like the werewolves, the whole like those are my favorite scenes. But also for the first Buffy movie, the movie with like Christy Swanson and like
right. Luke
Perry, like and like Pee Wee Herman, like I actually really loved that movie. I know like Joss Whedon wasn't he wasn't happy with it because it wasn't like his heart, but right. I didn't know that when I watched it. I was like, I just thought this movie was fun. I mean, I was a young kid, but I watched it and I thought it was hilarious. And I think about like, I love the relationship part, and I love that, you know, that it made vampires who are super scary, but it also kind of was fun. It was just in the realm of a fun thing. So I think vampires can be
absolutely
fun.
And I think it's a weird thing where like, you know, I bet if you ask people like some of their favorite, like one of the favorite zombie movies is probably Shaun of the Dead. And somebody's favorite vampire movie is probably What We Do in the Shadows. So it's like getting at the heart of like what vampires really represent and what zombies really represent is like has a lot of instances, and those two instances been best done in comedies and best done about stories about relationships, you know, and What We Do in the Shadows, it's about, it is about roommate relationships. And in Shaun of the Dead, it's about that relationship between, you know, him and his ex-girlfriend that they broke up the day before. It's like, so yeah, exactly what you're saying. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the original Buffy movie, so I can't use that as an example. No. So I'm sorry that I'm leaving that out in my list.
Well, we're ending the interview now. No,
it's just because
I think it's a fun movie. I should have done my homework before I came on the podcast.
I forgot to send you the notes. No, that's funny. It's a fun movie. But all right, so you know, obviously we don't have the whole story here. One of the things I like is, if I ever do this one day, my goal is to hopefully like maybe one day write a story, you know, because I think I have ideas. It's just like, oh, I probably don't have the work ethic y'all have. Like, I'm going to write a book, because I imagine it takes a lot. But my favorite thing is like background characters or people that are just kind of thrown in. Sometimes this can go nowhere, but I'm curious, like, is Kyle based on anybody? I'm just laughing because like on his whole like profile, it's just the stuff is pretty specific. It's like likes memes with Kevin Sorbo, dislikes video games that turn out to be educational. Like, I don't know. Where is that coming from? Because I just thought that was, to me, that made me laugh.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, he's not based on anybody specific. He's based on I don't want to give too much away, but he's based on a subculture that I've noticed on the internet that I feel like let's use the word toxic.
Okay.
So that gets into a little bit deeper into the story.
Okay.
But you know, oddly enough, you know, he's not based on anybody, but I always had a very specific look for him,
gotcha.
Which was that yellow plaid shirt and the baggy cargo pants. I was like, all right, he is definitely wearing these. And then when like Alisa and I were working on characters, I was like, okay, like this is it. And then she sent it back to me and I was so amazed. I was like, yes, there he is. It's Kyle.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's, but thank you for saying that you like that his likes and dislikes.
It's funny that, I mean, that adds, it just, that defines his character to me. Like, and it's just there in like in the art too, you know, like that tells me everything about who he is, you know.
Well thank you, that makes me feel really good. I mean, I definitely had, even though he's not based on anybody, I had a clear picture for him in my head, like I said, and I'm glad that that's coming through. And and the memes about Kevin Sorbo is definitely a big one. I was just staring at my blank computer screen as I was writing this, and like what is like the specific thing that I'm trying to capture about him that I can put into a joke, you know, that is also very entrenched in internet culture. And
yeah,
and I'm happy that you responded to that.
Cool. Yeah, it was you know, I just have that quirky humor, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I like that. That's,
and I also imagined him being really angry about, he's a little too young for this, but like, imagine him being really angry about Mario Teaches Typing. Like, oh, I hate this game. It's supposed to, I don't play games to learn things.
No, so. I love it. So, let's talk about the art real quick, because Matt mentioned a little bit. This art is really fun. I mean, it really informs the story you're telling. And I feel like when you pick an artist, like, it's pretty intentional. So when it's Elisa,
yeah.
Yeah. You picked her out, right? I mean, that's the thing about, yes. I think when you're working on your own project, you get to be a little more like specific on who you're going to get. What drew you to like working with her? Was there like an established relationship? Did you kind of know her, or was it like, hey, I got a date for an artist, you know?
No, I put up a listing on Upwork the same way that I found Benjamin Sawyer, the artist for For Molly, my other book. I put up a listing on Upwork, and she responded, and I looked at her profile, and I was like, well, this is awesome. I mean, she's got a really cool style. It's kind of like the closest parallel, I would say, is like Mike Mignola, kind of. But it's very emotive. It's very like her facial expressions are great. Her actions are great. Like, people's gestures are so cool. And like, and one thing that I did not know until we started working, because there wasn't really a way for me to know, was that like her background work is so great. Like, I had pictures that I sent her of a restaurant, the restaurant that you see on the page in Kickstarter. You know, it's a restaurant in LA, and I sent her pictures of an empty restaurant.
Yeah.
And then she populated it with like all these like background characters that are doing all these things. And then like, there's another part where it's a food truck out on the street, and there's people walking their dogs, and like the person in the food truck, which is like one of the best things that I was so happy about. You know, there's a food truck called Count Snackula. It's a it's a cupcake truck, and it's all vegan. But in it, because the logo is a little cupcake with fangs and bat wings, the person working in the food truck and serving the cupcakes has you know, little bat wings, like or bat ears, like Mickey ears. And I was like, oh my God, Elisa, that was brilliant. You know, I wrote that to her in an email. So I've been just so incredibly happy with, and the color palette that she chose and the amount of blacks that she used in her outlines, which is not too much and not too little. I've just been so super duper happy with it. And, you know, so speaking of Count Snackula, and then there's another fictional, restaurant in the comic, it's called Big Bite Burrito.
Yeah.
She did logos for both of those things, and those are available as Kickstarter rewards, which I'm really happy about getting out there.
I saw that, and I actually wanted to ask you questions about that, because, like, you know, on the side, I do design stuff, and I'm like, these look great. Like, these should be like I get they're part of the Kickstarter, but you really need to sell these, because they're like, I want a shirt of both, like, especially the Big Bite Burrito one makes me laugh. I don't know. I'm like, I want to go there. I want to go to Big Bite Burrito. So I think those are great. Like, you have great world building in here, and this thing's not even out yet. Like,
thank you very much.
Yeah, you're killing it on that, man. It's so fun, and the colors are so great. I wanted to say, you know what? I just finished. Sorry, I'm all over the place here, because I'm like, oh, I have all these thoughts. Her art, you said Mike Mignola, but I'm also getting some Otto Schmidt vibes too. I just finished the Hawkeye Freefall book. I don't know if you read that. It was freaking
no, dope. But I'm a big Green Arrow fan, so he was on Green Arrow for a while.
Yeah. So it was cool that he's got all the archers covered. But anyways, her art is very like evocative of that, I think, you know, because it's kind of, it's fun, and there's personality, and just in the character sketches, like on the Kickstarter page, like, I already know this girl's personality just by what she's, you know, kind of like illustrated here. And so
she's got a sharpness to her, but she's got that, because she's Italian, she's got that fluidity that's kind of you know, that's that European artists are kind of known for, like, you think about
she's not classic, even, she's not here in the States either.
Nope.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah,
How did that go?
11-hour time difference between the two of us as we were shooting emails back and forth. It was, I mean, we were both, she is in Florence. So she was in lockdown. I'm in lockdown out here in Los Angeles. So I was getting work back from her every day.
Wow.
And I was, you know, I was shooting off the revisions and the additions and things like that to her. You know, as soon as I got him, and we made this book really quickly. And I was incredibly grateful for that, and incredibly thankful to her. So, so that, like I said, that European style is like that classic style. It's so cool to have that in the book.
Yeah. Even just that first panel that you get to see on the preview of her sitting there, like, it looks like, I don't know if it's like, I can't tell if it's trees or mountains. It's like, yeah, the mountain is gold, but it looks like there's like, I don't know if it looks like tendons or trees, which is,
yeah, it's like,
regardless, it's cool.
A little bit of a peek behind the curtain. It is, I got in my head that her throne room should be similar to the armor that Gary Oldman wore in the Dracula movie, which was like all red and like sinewy, like it was muscles.
That's
I bet that would look good in a throne room.
Oh gosh, so. Anyways, like that looks incredible. Like that, the coloring. So she's, great pick, man.
I'm lucky that she responded to my ad, to my listing. Yeah. She's really, really great, and she's gonna be working with me on my next comic.
Nice.
Yeah,
cool. So I want to go through some of the tiers and stuff here. One of the things, look, your sister is working on doing a cover for you again here.
Yes,
which is cool. Like, is that just going to be part of the deal now? Like, anytime you do a book, she's like, all right, I'm going to do something for you.
I mean, as long as she'll keep doing it. Yeah. She did a really cool variant cover. That's Alina eating a big bite burrito.
Yeah.
And she did some original art, which is really, really cool for one of the higher tiers. With something that she and I kind of developed together, Vampires of Hollywood, where it's vampires singing in the blood rain. So there's like a musical one, and then there's some sci-fi ones, and she did a really cool fantasy one that was kind of based on some Norse stuff. Anyway, she did some really cool original artwork with colored pencils, and that's another one of the tiers. And then speaking of Elisa, the top tier is Elisa doing a custom portrait of a backer as a vampire.
Oh, so, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great. Wow. So what's the, cause I haven't read all of the, I'm not the details guy. You're on the show for the details.
That's all right. I'll fill in the details.
Yeah. What's our street date? What are we looking at?
Not to bring it down to the heavy subject, but you know, like shipping is kind of a big deal right now. So if everything goes as planned, it takes about 2 weeks for the funds to clear through Kickstarter. But I get another week or so for pledge surveys and backer surveys to go out, and then it'll hopefully take hopefully a month or so to print. Mm-hmm. And then ship those out. So that's the hopeful timeline. If everything goes smoothly, which, you know, fingers crossed it will. But you know, who knows right now with the state of the postal system at the moment. Yeah. We'll get it out. You know, it hit the funding goal, which means that, by hook or by crook, I'm getting this comic into people's hands. So I'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Cool. So one of my other questions, I have a lot of behind the scenes questions. I know it's probably not as interesting to other people, but like when you're doing a Kickstarter like this, are you responsible for your own printer, or does Kickstarter know like, oh, here's some companies that we've worked with? How do you go about finding all the people that are going to do, that part of the work for you?
Yeah, it's you're responsible for all your own stuff. I mean, Kickstarter's pretty much just the platform.
Okay.
They, platform as far as getting the stuff up onto the site, and then they have, an internal messaging system, so you can message backers, and you could message other creators. And they have a lot of resources and stuff, and they have a lot of things that that definitely can be utilized. But honestly, like, one of the strengths of Kickstarter is kind of how simple it is. Mm-hmm. And how, it's very easy to just insert graphics into pages. So you can make it look like the way you want it to look. But yeah, as far as like the getting the printer, that's something that that I do on my own. Doing the shipping is something I do on my own. None of that, doing the reward surveys or the backer surveys is something that I'll do through another company. So yeah, that's all stuff that is on the shoulders of the creator.
Nice. All right, cool. I was just curious. I was like, I wonder, like, once you get your goals at like push, and it's like, we're going to send it off to a printer now for you. So, okay.
Yeah, I wish. But
that's like the next level, I guess. So
yeah.
Awesome, man. This book looks really fun. Everybody, I hope you all check this out. You know, we always say this on the show. We don't talk about or like try to support things we don't think are fun. Because I don't like to be a liar. I don't like this looks like a great book, and then like, and you know, For Molly is really fun. This looks, you know, phenomenal. I hope everybody, you know, checks this out. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that I think that fights for our dollar, but you know, lately, you know, this is my opinion. I just feel like every publisher can probably, you know, scale back a little bit on what they put, because I feel like there's a glut of stuff that can sometimes take the attention off of something like this. And I really hope people, like, if you're listening and if you happen to like see this, you know, through Twitter or whatever, you give it a chance, because I think you'll be really surprised by, you know, how much you'll dig this. Like, I don't need another X-Men comic, you know, and I like the X-Men, right? But like, I don't need another X-Men comic to compete with like other things. And it, the you know, the older I get and I, you know, deepen in my, like, the hobby of comics, I love discovering new stuff. And I used to be really good at it in like my late 20s. And, you know, I think I just kind of like, I fell out of it. And it's fun to discover new things. And it's fun to be at the ground level of something like this. So like, I just encourage people, like, you know, take a chance, you know, in the end, take a chance in something like this. Cause A, you might find out like you have a new favorite writer, and then B, you're going to like, oh, I really love this story, you know, and share it with other people. This looks really fun, man. So
I appreciate the support. I really do. I'm really grateful for it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So any last words about your Kickstarter, man?
That sounds so final.
Just that,
Any last words?
It ends on August 26th, Wednesday, August 26th. Okay. You know, it's we met the goal. Like, we're successfully funded already. So for those of you that are like, you know, that only like to bet on sure things, this is a sure thing. It is going to get made.
Yeah, there you go.
And I, like I said, I'm really, really happy with the end result. I'm really, really thrilled to be working with Elisa. People have been responding really well to the previews that are up there. And I've got some really cool rewards that I'm really excited to share. And, you know, this is a pivot for me as far as like, For Molly is coming to an end with chapter 4, whenever we get that out. And I'm going to start to do, because this experiment that I did kind of worked, I'm going to start to do more short stories, more one shots, and then eventually collect them all into a book of short stories. So that's the new plan. And I'm really excited about that, getting started on that. And I'm just thrilled that it worked, you know, that the first step is that I passed the first tests here.
Awesome. Well, we're excited. Yeah, that's man. Great. So yeah. And this, again, let us know on the next stuff, and we'll definitely put you on here. You can be on the show every week, man, if you're just trying to push something every week.
I wish I was that prolific.
All right. So, you know what? Gabe's going to hang out with us. I love it. I love it when you like we watch a talk show and like they interview someone and they're like, hey, you want to stay with us for the rest of the show? And they're like, nah, man, I gotta go. They're like, I just want to talk about my thing and go. But you're gonna hang out with us and talk.
Yeah, I'm staying on the couch.
Yay, he's staying on the couch. That's
staying
great.
On the couch.
There we go. That's what we want. Stay on the couch. Talk. So what's cool is you're also a fan of comics. Like, you know, it makes it fun. Like I was saying, like the first time you came on, we talked Batman a little bit. So this weekend is this huge DC fandom thing. So where are you at on DC fandom? Are you excited? You kind of?
I'm excited. Yeah. I like a lot of people, I'm sure, am lamenting the fact that by this time this year, if it were not for the pandemic, we would have seen Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
We would have seen Tenet. We would have seen Mulan.
Yeah.
You know,
Ghostbusters.
Black Widow. Yeah, Ghostbusters, you know. I'm excited I'm looking forward to being excited about these projects that are hopefully going to be coming out really soon.
Yeah.
Specifically Wonder Woman. I might or might not. I'm undecided whether I'm going to, you know, try to watch that trailer. I usually try to avoid trailers coming up close to new trailers coming up close to releases because I like to go in, you know, not knowing too much about the movie. But yeah, I'm like a lukewarm excited about DC fandom.
Oh, man.
I'm finally someone else that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Matt's just like, oh, okay. I can't not watch trailers. I don't know. It's like, oh, a trailer? I'm going to watch it.
You're the worst. I remember Green Lantern, Ryan Reynolds. I was pretty excited. And then, like, I just feel like I blame Justin. Like, he got me so pumped up. Like, I just kept, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to watch any more clips. Okay, I'll watch this clip of Sinestro. Okay, I'll watch this clip of Kilowog. And then by the time I went to the movie, I was like, dang it, I saw all of the cool stuff already.
Yeah, it was so much better, like, in the trailers.
Yeah, I did that with Batman versus Superman, where I watched those trailers, like, way too much.
And oh, man.
I went in and I was like, I already know what's going to happen. Like,
yeah, the worst thing they did was they showed the Wonder Woman save in those trailers. It's like, why did they do that? Like, they, and then, yeah.
Oh, man.
But I will say, speaking of trailers, the one that I did love and watched over and over again, and then I still liked the movie, was Watchmen. The Zack Snyder Watchmen had a great trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That was excellent. They had the Smashing Pumpkins song, dude.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good.
It's weird. I still have, I don't know why, but in my, like, my iTunes, my Apple, like, Apple TV, like, in the movie section, there's this weird, like, 3 minute long behind the scenes, all music of Watchmen. It's still there. It's just this weird. It's not a music video. It's not even a trailer. It's just like 4 minute extended cut. And it's like, what is, I keep thinking, like, what is this weird Watchmen thing? Anyways, you just jogged my memory on that. But yeah, like, I just can't get enough of trailers. I don't know what it is. I'll even watch, like, the weird, like, it's the international one. It's like 5 seconds longer, and it's just like, oh, there's another scene of the guy running. You know, it's like, it's longer though. I've got more stuff. I'm just excited to see Cheetah, man. Like, I'm like, they have to drop Cheetah on this thing. That's all, because I don't want to wait anymore. Because I keep seeing, like, weird, like, Funko Pop sneak previews of her now, and I'm like, well, now I'm forming my opinion based on these, like, weird, like, Barbie dolls that I've seen, and like peachy folders, like, show me what she looks like.
Yeah, like school supplies.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh,
it's always the best way to tell how a character is gonna look on
screen. Yeah, like, oh, I don't want to find out on this bag of Doritos. I want to find out, like, in the trailer now, you know. So yeah, I'm really excited. So the funny thing is, today they announced, hey, guess what? Fandom, it's coming up Saturday. Actually, we're splitting it in two.
Yeah.
So, Saturday is just going to be all the movie and video game stuff. And then in like 2 weeks, September 12th, which, that's crazy. It's September 12th.
Yeah.
We're already in September almost. That's going to be all the TV, and they're calling it the multiverse. Explore the multiverse. So all the TV stuff and comics and everything else that they can fit into there. So I'm like, man, it's going to take... I don't know how I'm going to be able to give 2 weekends away to DC Comics. My wife's like, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, you weren't going to physically be able to watch all of the stuff the way they had it set up before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they had some stuff on replay, but it was like, if you wanted to watch the Matt Reeves Batman thing, you were not going to be able to watch Titans at all. Like, if you were like, oh, but I wanted to see both, like, you know, panels, you can't, because they weren't going to replay the Titan stuff. So it's just interesting. So, my whole schedule I made is, I have to redo it now because they are able to, like, make a schedule, and now it's all shifted. So I'm like, great DC fandom, but it's good that they're shifting stuff. But yeah, I think I'm excited for everything because I'm just so just curious, like,
going through the schedule and just clicking check mark. Yes,
I am. I'm like Suicide Squad. I want to go see that panel. Like,
just,
I,
like,
I
bye just kids. Wanna, see you Sunday.
Yeah. Like,
and,
like,
one of the Wonder Woman panels, isn't it, like, them playing werewolf or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're playing a game.
Like, what's that all about? I love it. Yeah, I love it, man. I'm so excited for it. And so I'm just trying to, like, really schedule my day around it, which is, my wife is like, what are you doing? It's like a Comic Con online.
You don't get it. You don't get it.
You don't understand me. And I just run.
I don't have to wait in line.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. They're not even.
I
would have paid. I would have gave them $10 to watch this stuff online. Like, and the fact that they're not is incredible. Like, So we're probably going to get a lot of AT&T ads like in panels.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, hey, is your phone not work? AT&T.
But it's worth it. I think it's really good that they are, that they're bringing this to the people, really, that that they're making it accessible for people, that that they're going to open it up to. I mean, it seems like DC is trying to open themselves up to new audiences, you know, younger audiences, mm-hmm. the whole thing with the person in charge being coming from the YA and the young and the and that line, like it's good that they're trying to open up and get as many people into the virtual seats as possible.
Yeah. No, it's a, you know, the one thing about, like, you know, I know COVID and all this stuff has been rough, but it has pushed people to, like, okay, how am I going to adapt and how am I going to be, you know, creative during this time? And this was, I think this is going to end up being a huge win for them. You know, like, okay, fine, we can't do Comic-Con. Let's control our own Comic-Con. And, you know, I'm actually more excited for this than I was for, you know, Comic-Con at home. I just didn't feel like, it just felt like it was all Walking Dead in a few panels. And it wasn't bad stuff. I just wasn't excited for it, you know? But for this, I'm like, man, I really feel like an excitement, like, to the level of going to a con, like, oh man, there's going to be some cool panels, you know?
Yeah. And from what you can tell, like, right now they're trying to be a little bit innovative with, like, the virtual spaces. So I'm going to be interested to see if they do something in the actual panels where, like, I don't know, where there's some cool graphics and you can see a bunch of people. It's not just like switching between monitors like you do with the Zoom, regular Zoom call.
Right.
Like, but the whole, like, hall of multiverse or whatever it's called, like, virtual thing that Jim Lee designed, and they've got different floating palaces that look like from Inside Out, you know. But I think that they're trying to be innovative with, like, the space of it too and the look of it. So I'm interested to see what they do with that to try to make it look like it's more than and try to enhance the experience in that way and make it look like it's more than just you know, a conference call.
You know what? What would be really cool is, like, you know how, like, I haven't seen a game, but I've seen pictures of, like, the virtual, like, was it football games or baseball games that are going on? And nerd, like, it's a baseball game, but they have like digital people, right? And so, like, my nephew's got to be some of those fake people.
Oh, that's awesome!
Like, I was like, oh, that's so cool. But it'd be cool if they actually were like, hey, if you want to be a virtual fan, like, maybe you can send your photo in or something, and then they can have a person that's, like, walking by, like, just still shot, just like, I'm moving here on the camera, you can't see this, but like it'd be funny if you had, like, virtual people that's like, hey, that's me, I've made it into the panel. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I still, like, I'm coming at it like I'm moderately excited, but mostly I'm really curious, because I think ever since, like, I think last year with the CW doing their version of Crisis, mm-hmm. and then, like, that was kind of like, whoa, like, okay, like, you guys are actually acknowledging this multiverse thing and you're not just talking about it. And then going into, like, the Michael Keaton news from a few months ago, like, we had a show after that and we're like, and then the Snyder Cut, I'm like, I don't know anything anymore, like, anything's possible, which is a really fun place to go into, because I feel like, because of the way that whoever, like, WB, DC, whoever, AT&T, whoever you want to, like, blame, like, with the announcement of slates of, like, films and different things that just they just kind of stopped talking about. Yeah. Like, I think there was a point where I was like, I don't really trust you guys. Like, nothing's really going to happen. And now, like, I feel like completely the opposite, where I'm like, oh, man, I mean, sure. I don't know what's going to happen in the Black Adam panel or the Flash panel. I'm like, zero idea. Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of fun to go into.
They keep hinting at, like, Hawkman. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to see Hawk.
Black Adam.
They're saying like, there's going to be, like, JSA ties to the Black Adam film. So I'm like, oh, like, so they're saying there's you know, they're going to have an old JSA and, like, a modern JSA. So, like, they cast Adam Smasher.
Right. So basically, they'll have the Stargirl cast, like, just kind of popping.
That's the multiverse, man. You can have the different versions, but so they're hinting at, like, someone's gonna be Hawkman. And there was a whole thing a couple weeks ago, like, Ryan Reynolds it was one of those goofy things, like, got this covered, which funny. Is never true, but it's like, Ryan Reynolds is gonna be Hawkman, and he's like he's like, I'm not Hawkman, you know.
When you see The Rock, like, was totally feeding into it too. He was like, he was like, Ryan Reynolds is in the Snyder Cut and he's going to be in this and he's in Black Adam with me. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the other thing people were saying. Like, he's in Green Lantern. He's Green Lantern again and he's in the Snyder Cut. You're
gosh.
But who knows? Like, I don't want to say anything because the moment you say it's not going to happen, someone's like, "Well, you said on your podcast in episode 153 that you know." Like,
wouldn't that be crazy if he was a surprise guest at DC Fandom? Like,
Oh my goodness,
who knows?
Like, just to show his Reynolds cut of the Green Lantern movie,
the Reynolds cut of the Snyder cut.
That was funny. Did you see his Reynolds cut thing?
Yeah, I did. I loved it. He put it up on Twitter, right?
Yeah. That's fun. So, yeah, I think you're right, Matt. Like, now I feel like I have a lot more goodwill in, like, what they're announcing. Because for a while, it was like, oh, they're announcing all this stuff. I remember at Comic-Con, it was like 3 years ago, they did a sizzle reel of all the stuff that's coming. And it was like, Flash movies coming and, like, Batgirls
Green Lantern Corps.
And, like, all these different things. Green Lantern Corps, yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, where are these things at? And now Green Lantern Corps is going to be a TV show on HBO Now or HBO
Max.
Right? Max. Yeah. I'm like, go next plus all those things. So I think they're going to talk about that on the 22nd, all the TV show stuff. But I don't know. I feel a lot more like these things are going to happen. The only thing I don't think is going to happen is Steven Spielberg's Black Hawk film, because I have not heard anything else about that since like it got announced.
I'd forgotten about that.
I totally forgot about that.
That's the one I pull out. I'm like, what's going on with this film? Because I want to see a Black Hawk movie. That'd be fun. So, but I hope we get something about the New God stuff, because they keep saying, Tom King and Ava DuVernay are saying it's happening. So that's the one I'm like, is it? Yeah, man, that's just, you know, especially if it had. Did you read Mr. Merkle at all? Or
I did. Yeah, that's an amazing book.
Yeah, it's just if it has anything like that, any ties to that, you're just like, and you're hoping, because like, why would you bring Tom King on?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that book was so good. It's kind of like what we were talking about, where it's like taking the craziness of the New Gods and filtering it through the everyday life of, you know, what is it like to be a human being? What is it like to be married and to, you know, argue about how to expand your apartment when you get pregnant?
That sequence, like
that was
like,
so good.
That sequence was probably my favorite of that entire. Yeah. That and the veggie tray were like.
The veggie tray is brilliant.
Yeah. that was great.
Justin, you're are you most hyped for Suicide Squad still? That's what we had talked about before. Yeah. I feel like that was your like main thing that you were looking forward to.
Yeah. Just because it's so, I think everything surrounding the Suicide Squad just has me intrigued, because it's like this weird question mark that looms over it. It's like, it's not a sequel, but it has like the same cast, and it's like this weird like Warner Brothers like pickup from when James Gunn was fired from Guardians 3, but like now he can do Guardians 3 again. And there's everything that surrounds it makes me like, I'm just curious about the whole thing. Like the Matt Reeves Batman, like I'm kind of like, my mind's not made up, but I'm like, okay, it's probably going to be good. I'm not excited about it yet because I just don't know. But the James Gunn thing, it's just crazy to me. It's the wild card to me. And I think that's why I'm like, oh, I'm really excited.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way, where like James Gunn, because he has the bona fides of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. And it's like, if he can even bring, you know, sprinkle a little bit of that fairy dust onto Suicide Squad, then I'll be really, really happy. And I'll be really, really excited about that. Yeah. And the Matt Reeves thing, like kind of like I said, when we started, like, I'm excited to be excited about that. Like for one thing, it's so far away. And it's also like, there's so many unknowns. There's so many unknowns with it. So I am excited at the potential of like them dropping a trailer or some behind the scenes stuff or giving us a first look at something and getting excited about it and having that momentum and that confidence start to build up.
Yeah. Well, we're for sure getting a trailer. That's what they said. So
I think you look at, I was thinking about it today. I was like, well, super stoked on all those movie announcements for movies I'm not going to see for another 2 or 3 years. It's just hard. I'm like, just show me something once you've started like working. Like, cause the news cycle is just so consistent and so like intense all the time. Like we learn, you learn like now, like every single detail when some sort of maybe tiny little movement has happened in development of a film. Yeah. That it's almost at some point I'm like, I'm tired of keeping up with that. Like, I just want to let me know once you've started filming The Flash. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's great. Like, I love The Flash and that's my character. So, I mean, but I don't know, man. Like, I was thinking about it today. I was like, what movies are going to get like, hey, see you in 2024.
Oh, like, yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Gosh, that's a depressing thought, dude.
You know, sorry.
84 coming out in 24.
Not it. I hope not.
Though we've also created 7 more Wonder Woman films. Yeah, I can't
film them simultaneously.
Yeah, it's just funny. Like you're going into. I was at 7-Eleven a weekend ago to get. It was hot. Got some Slurpees, and they have the big thing. It's all Wonder Woman 84, only in theaters like this June.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're like, oh,
heartbreaking.
That's collector's item.
Yeah, when I was driving around, like I think to the grocery store, there was a Mulan poster or Mulan billboard on my route, and I'm like, oh, makes me sad.
Yeah. Did it say like in theaters or was it like Disney?
Yeah. It said March. It said March 13 or whenever it was, and I was like,
Was it supposed to come out in March?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That one, and I don't have the exact date in front of me, but I mean, James Bond, No Time to Die, like that was supposed to come out like in the beginning of April, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think so.
And I'm sorry for bringing the conversation down.
Oh, that's okay. It's so relevant. It's almost ludicrous now. It's like everything is just like, where do you put it now? Because everything shifts a year now, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of ludicrous, why, like, I'm Fast excited. And Furious as well.
Yes.
Sorry, just trying to get that connection. You know? Yeah.
That's funny.
But, so. You know, that's why, like, I want to be, I want them on Saturday to say, like, hey, Wonder Woman is definitely coming. We're going to do a day and date thing with in theaters and video on demand or something. Like, that would be a great announcement. Like, you know, like what they're doing with Mulan, you know, and what they did with King of Staten Island and Trolls and all these movies that have come out in video on demand in some way that hopefully appeases the movie theaters, because I know that's a big deal. Like there was a big feud at the beginning of the pandemic with that. Like that would definitely get me excited, almost more than a trailer would get me excited. It's like, okay, we're gonna be releasing this thing that was supposed to come out a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Well, this weekend, New Mutants is coming out. Theaters, so like I guess there's certain theaters will be open, so
yeah, I think it's next week,
we'll see. Yeah, because
here's that poor movie.
Yeah. That poor movie has been kicked. It's like it's just about a rock that's been kicked for like I just want to see it just to give it support, like, you know, I'm gonna go watch you, New Mutants.
We'll like good for you guys, you made it.
Wonder Woman has to come out at some point, just because I have a buddy, and I hope I can say this, I'm just gonna say it, and if he gets mad at me, I'll delete it later, but he said that because the industry he's in, Wonder Woman is coming to Blu-ray in January. Mm. Like that's already something that's they build their like their holiday shopping around it. Like, hey,
oh wow,
like, it's going to be their like whatever that first quarter of 2021. That's a thing. Like, hey, we're all gonna have Wonder Woman. So we'll see. If I have to delete this, I'm gonna ask him when I'm done. Like, hey man, I mentioned that one. I didn't say names, but like, am I allowed?
Well, you forget how like the huge machinery that's in place around these big budget movies.
I mean, think
about all the money that went into, and that was a big discussion around the time this all started. Is like all the money that went into advertising No Time to Die, and all the money that went into Mulan. Like it just, you know, it's just gone. You know, like those movies don't get to release. You have to do the advertisement again in a different way. And it's like,
well, that's why we're getting Doritos with Wonder Woman on it right now. You know, we're just going to keep having them for the rest of the year. It's like, well, like own it on home video, just whatever. Just get Wonder Woman Doritos. That's all they are. It's fun. They're my favorite Doritos. So, all right. Well, I don't have anything else really to say about fandom since they just completely blew up the schedule. I'm just going to watch the movie stuff and that's it. And
yeah. Are you looking forward to the video game stuff? Cause, Montreal Games has been posting those, people are saying like a Court of Owls kind of storyline probably for a Batman.
Yeah. Game. And Scott Snyder's been liking everything. He's like, oh, like the hints. You know? So I'll play a Court of Owls Batman game. That sounds pretty fun, man.
I also saw some more info. They talked about Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League as well. Like a little more details on who you can play, who's playable characters and who like...
Oh, really?
And who you can go after. But you can't kill Batman. Because they want to make other games with him, and they're like, no, that's not a good look. You can't kill him, and I think like Superman and Wonder Woman or something, which is pretty funny. You can only capture them.
You can capture him, but are you... So in the game, you obviously the title, so you're supposed to kill members of the Justice League. Why? Like, are they bad? Are they bizarro versions of...
I don't know, dude.
Because that's really what people are saying. Yet. Yeah, they're saying like the image they put out of just Superman with the target on him, he looks like a bizarro because he's like got weird like... It looks like he has like crackly white skin. If you zoom in,
I don't look at pictures that closely.
I do. I get into it. I'm like, why is that picture like that? So I can't wait till Saturday. So
that panel is going to be on Saturday. That one didn't get pushed.
Yeah. All video games and movie, they're just like, we're going to put you all here. And then all the TV and comics in September.
I think there was going to be a panel with Tom King about the Rorschach book with David Lindelof.
Yeah, I think
But I saw something on EW about it about a week ago, but then I couldn't find it on either of the schedules. So I don't know if it got canceled I don't know what's going on, or maybe they're because it just happened today, the changeover, like it's still, they're still populating that the website for the 12th. Like, I don't know but I was really looking forward to that and like to hearing what he said was going to be his take on that character.
I would love to check that out. I don't some stuff I don't know where it's going to be because there's like the insider verse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, some of it's weird because it's like a lot of pilots in they're like, oh, we're gonna play the pilot of this show and they're gonna like break down like certain things. And so I'm like, I don't know if I want to like watch that, you know, like if this is only going to be up for like 24 hours, which I imagine they're going to just throw it all on like a YouTube channel or something. But that's something I definitely want to see. So
totally.
I don't know where it fits, but yeah, I'm down. I know they had a Watchmen panel, so I don't know, you know, what it all encased. So hopefully it does like everything. So it's weird. Like they're celebrating everything that DC's ever done. Like even like old shows, like Legion of the Superheroes, like from way back in the day, you know, like, oh, they're gonna have a panel based on that. And so I feel like everything is up for grabs. So that's really cool. So yeah, we'll see.
Anything can happen, like we said.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, okay. The expansion of DC's Watchmen universe. That's a thing. It still says Saturday. It says Saturday, September 12th.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Maybe, so an in-depth discussion.
Maybe I just missed that this morning when I was looking it up. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm interested to see what he says about that book and what he's going to do with it.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be Saturday, and they'll replay it. So that's the one thing. Some of these are just like video, like recorded, you know, things with like questions you kind of sent in earlier. So cool. All right, man. So we got a few minutes left. Matt, you want to get into some Thor real quick?
Yeah.
So, all right. Side note, Gabe, we're going to talk about a book you have not read, but I'm telling you, man, we're going
to. It's all good.
I'll try not to give straight up just spoilers. But so Donny Cates and Nick Klein with Matt Wilson coloring been doing a new Thor run. Issue 6 came out today. I was really intrigued because I usually review it for the website, and so, you know, get a little advanced copy, get things written, and I was just like, nothing's there. And then we checked our emails, and Marvel's like, no, there's no preview pages of this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like, I'm like, hey, how come Thor's not here?
I'm like, well, now I'm really interested. Okay. I mean, so pick that up today at the shop. It's really great. There is some pretty big stuff. I think this is – I think seeing Thor – like you need to, he feels like a character to me, like you need to have a story that feels really big, a story that feels like it has stakes. Like he's just a big personality, a big character. And so I think sometimes like you can have stories at the big two where I feel like people kind of get a little lazy and just depend on the name and you can just kind of pass that story by. And this does not feel like one of those. Like I've read a few stories by Donny Cates specifically now, like with a few different characters, and he just continues to just nail the voice. Like it just feels like the right kind of action, the right kind of voice for Thor and his supporting cast. And Nick Klein's like rendition of it, of the action is awesome. Yeah. Like I mean, and everyone's in this too. It's not just Thor. Like, you have Beta Ray Bill show up. You have Galactus in part, plays a part. You have Silver Surfer plays a part, who is in Silver Surfer Black, which Donny Cates also did. I think that was 2019. I don't keep track of time anymore. Doesn't make sense anymore.
It's still March.
No, there's no porn.
So yeah, I mean, I won't get into details because I really do think people should check it out, and I don't want to spoil stuff. But
it's pretty.
It brings the first arc to a close, and I hopped on in 2018, 2019, the last bit of Jason Aaron's run that he did on Thor, just because I was curious. I'm like, this looks kind of cool, and I've never really read a Thor book consistently. And it really won me over to the character. I think the MCU version is the one that a lot of people know, and it's fine. I think it's a valid version of the character. But now that I've read it for a few years, I'm like, no, like, there's something about this Thor that just makes sense to me that, like, I'm excited to read stories about. Like, there's something that I think when you embrace the more, like, epic, like, fantasy kind of aspects of it, the mythological aspects of it, like, I feel like that's something that's really special that Thor has that not a lot of other Marvel characters do. So I think he has it in a special way. And I think this, I was a little nervous with a new team taking it over, but it's just, it's a big enough story with a big enough ending to the first arc that I'm like, where do you go from here? Like, you started like blowing everything up on the first round. Like, now I'm just really curious. I'm like, where is this going to go? And I think he's laid some good foundation and planted little seeds here and there for some interesting wrinkles in the future. So I think the whole arc, like, for us when we rate stuff, we use a rating system where we say the best is a gotta go, below that is a let's go, below that is a go, and then there's a don't go at the bottom, and that's just kind of our way of maintaining that. And
branding.
I would say branding. I would say this is absolutely a let's go. It's such a strong like start to a new team, and I think I'm glad that I like jumped in on this and like took a risk on it.
Yeah,
I would say check it out.
Yeah, so it's weird because I'm not as like disciplined in Matt, because I've missed the last two issues of Thor, but it's really incredible.
Disciplined in other books, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's fine. I think because like for Thor, I'm like, I don't know if I want to read Thor, you know, because I like Thor. I like the idea of Thor, but I was like, do I love
you like
Thor?
It when he hits himself in the face with a ball?
No, I don't like that.
Did that happen in
Ragnarok? In Thor Ragnarok.
No, I'm talking about the movie. Like, he hates that part.
Right.
I hate that scene. Like, the whole, I like the movie. I think the movie's fine. Except that one scene. I'm like, why? I don't know. It's just me. It's my little issues. But this book, it's funny. It's like, every time I read an issue, I'm like, oh man, that was so good. But I'm like, it's not at the top of my stack. But because of like the way that Mike Marvel was like, we're not putting this book in your previews, I'm like, I gotta read this thing. So as soon as I had access, I'm like, I'm reading it. I'm like, what? Like, it's just, it's so good. So now I'm like, okay, now I got to go read the other two issues and read it that way, the appropriate way. It's awesome.
You do.
Dude. It's like, it's like a heavy metal, like epic, like video meets like, I'm trying to think like, what's my other part of this sandwich? It's like I don't know if this is gonna make sense, but it's like when you already recognize something that's awesome, right? But then it surprises you. Like when I was younger, we'll say Guns N' Roses is, you know, a band. They're like, oh my gosh, they're like, they'll probably stab you or something, right? When they meet you. But then they do something like November Rain, this song. It's like this epic opus of a song. I probably just lost everybody, but I'm like, to me, it blew my mind. I'm like, wait, now they have like symphonies and stuff, but it's still kind of like this epic thing. And that's what I'm thinking with this book. I'm like, oh, but then at the end, it just kind of like, you know, lights you up with lightning because, you know, it's Thor. And you're just like, what the crap is going on? And like, I'm like, I hope this holds. Whatever happened in this book, there is like, I feel like there's two very significant things that happened in this book. And you're like, this is one of those things like, well, this is going to be something that changes the Marvel universe right here.
That's awesome. You guys are definitely selling me on this.
Yeah, book. Sorry. I'm like,
no,
besides
for sure.
my November Rain.
I love Donny Cates. Yeah. I love God Country, Redneck, and Baby Teeth, and all of his indie books. I mean,
God Country's great, man. That's a really great book. Yeah,
and he was tweeting a while ago that he'd just finished writing the script for it. That, you know, it's getting adapted into a movie, and yeah. that's gonna be something really special. But the way that he he just like gleefully like causes all this destruction. He's like, you know, Godzilla. So
true. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, you know, shooting lasers out of his mouth or whatever Godzilla does. Apologies to all of your Godzilla fan listeners. He just has so much fun just destroying things.
Yeah.
And having these big bombastic things that he is able to connect and like plant seeds for and put back together in interesting ways or not put back together and establish new status quos. And like, and he's got a really cool voice, and yeah, so I really enjoy a lot of his stuff. So yeah, I'm interested, and I really like the Jason Aaron run. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet. I'm playing catch up on that, as I am with a lot of Marvel stuff.
But I need to play catch up on the first part of the run. I probably have the opposite problem.
Yeah. I'm exactly. We're eventually gonna cross.
Yeah,
but yeah, this sounds really cool. I'm excited to hear that that you guys liked it.
Yeah, it's one of the things I would say, like, what Marvel's doing really well right now is and I wouldn't say Thor is like a bottom tier character. I think he was, you know, maybe 10 years ago, but I think cinematically he's like number three, but like in the comics still, I don't know if he's there. I feel like their lower tier character books are so much better than like their movie stars. And I would say this Thor book is there. Here's the other one that's blowing my mind, because I'm not this guy, but like our buddy Mike, he's like a Venom guy, and he got us like reading Venom. That book is incredible. It's Donny Cates. You know? Yeah,
we read that in my comic book club, and the leader of the club is a huge Venom fan. So it was like it was 2 hours of a Venom Zoom call. to stop talking about how everything about it was great.
So. Man, but
that's really funny.
I've been like, no, but like it is. I'm like, this is, I was like, I don't know, like, you know, Absolute Carnage, and then did I get it right, Matt? I kept calling it all these other different
you names, did. You kept Absolute calling Carnage. It Maximum Carnage.
I was like,
flashback to my over Carnage.
Yeah, I was like, this book is so good, but.
I've always thought like characters like Venom and Carnage and just the symbiotes in general in the past like have been like excuses to just do really dumb, like over the top stuff that's not always that interesting, like narratively. And so, but Mike was really on it, and so I'm like, yeah, like I'll check it out. And now I've kept up on Venom like since that, and even went back and like borrowed some of his like his collected editions of the first part of Donny Cates' run. So, well, now I'm curious. And the thing that I think I really appreciate about writers like Donny Cates is when I'm reading these different books that he's done, I don't feel like I'm reading Donny Cates. I feel like I'm reading these characters.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's, I really appreciate when writers are like that, when I'm reading a Frank Miller book. Like that's what I'm reading, you know, like, but I'm like, no, like this is like, Spider-Man's voice is right on, like Captain America's voice is right on, Venom, Thor, Silver Surfer, and they all feel like their own thing. It's really impressive, man. Like really impressive.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I brought up when we talked about Venom in my comic book club is like that's a challenging character to write for. You know, he's very indicative of the time that he began. I think that Cates was kind of reveling in that, especially in the first volume, which is what we read. Like he's got long blonde hair,
he looks like he's like grunge
Rocky
like,
opponent. Yeah. And he's got big bulging muscles, like, you know, the kind that like it doesn't look like he can fit through a doorway. And like, so it's a challenge to write that character. So that's my long way of saying that I agree with you I think he's a good writer. Yeah. End of statement.
Yeah. He's just a guy like I trust now. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read anything that he jumps on. Same thing with like Zarsky and like Rosenberg. Like those guys get on a book.
Fraction.
Yeah. Those guys, like his Jimmy Olsen things are really
Oh my hilarious. Gosh. I can't wait to get the collected. Yeah.
When it's collected, if you didn't touch any of that, oh my gosh.
I'll check it out. I was doing my reread of, I bought the omnibus is for sex criminals. I was doing my reread of that in preparation for that finally coming out. That's his Image book, which is
That's
one of my favorite comics. Yeah, I think it just ended. I think they're doing a supplemental final issue, but like the main story, I think ended. They're doing an epilogue issue.
Yes, it's like these guys. Like I'll read whatever you put out now because, I'm much more of a writer guy now than an artist. You know, but you need good art to like you know go with your story. But like, if your story's no good, I mean, the art's not gonna like float it after a while. You know, and these guys are just like, you know, this next wave of writers they have here at Marvel have been really great, and so I'm just really excited about like hopefully maybe paring down their slate a little bit so that they have more books of quality. Cause some of them, again, like I was saying, like there is a glut of stuff and I'm like, oh man, don't get into those weird, like, you know, 90s problems. Cause it ruins the whole line after a while, you know? So anywho, that's that. Thor.
Yeah.
I give it as well, but I actually feel like what happens inside the book is like some gotta go stuff, but that's neither.
Yeah, and it's really great. Like I had to look up Nick Klein like after starting to read this book, because I'm like, I love this art and I've never seen his stuff before. And so that was cool to get exposed to like a new artist yet too. And I would say finally too, just throw out there, like, I don't think the colorists get talked about enough in a lot of these things. And Matt Wilson, especially for this story, there's something about like the way the rendition of the Power Cosmic and the role it plays, like in the story, like the way you see it represented, like there's like neon, like laser type, like things built in with really like gritty, like really rough, like battles and stuff. And I think like it's consistently impressed me. And I feel like I'm reading a ton of books where he's the colorist too. And so I think he's just excellent, excellent across the board.
Yeah. And is that first panel was Silver Surfer. Like, well, he's not really silver in this book. It's just really cool.
That's why you got to read Silver Surfer Black.
Oh man, it's so good. Okay. All right. Enough about these comics.
It all spins out of Absolute Carnage. That's what got me going back to those other ones. Can I talk about one other book?
Yes.
Real
quick. Yes.
Just write one.
Yes.
Real quick. I need to collect my thoughts because it's the end of a complete story. But Daniel Warren Johnson's Wonder Woman Dead Earth, book 4 came out today, and I liked it a lot. I'll collect more, but I just wanted to get it out there. Like, it's so good. I think, cause I also finally read, the most recent issue of Death Metal before I read that. And Death Metal is more like just kind of zany, like just absolute bananas, kind of metal. Like, I don't know if I would call it Death Metal, but then like you read Wonder Woman, Dead Earth and all the stuff that happens in that, like that's freaking metal. Like it's wild, man. Like it's so cool. I again, like you kind of find someone, you kind of follow them around like to their books. And I think after really digging, we saw it today.
Murder Falcon.
Daniel Warren Johnson's last one, Murder Falcon. There we go. Loved that and the heart in it. And he's got such a unique style of storytelling just in general, but specifically because he's doing the art too.
Yeah. When you hear a really cool book, your story, like Murder Falcon, what it's like a,
oh yeah. You and Dylan told me about it. And I was like, what?
It is a heartfelt story, but you're like Murder Falcon. But like you read it and you're like, okay, these are real people here. And the concept's bananas, like these heavy metal, like avatars from like, you know, like the metal universe, like will come and fight for like, you know, the earth. But there's also a real story about like broken heart and love there. And you're like, what? Anyways, Daniel Warren Johnson, dude, he's just impressed me so much. Like he's a guy, like I want to go in. What was the book he had an Image? Can't think of the name, but I want to go back and get that because everyone's like, oh, that was really good.
I think he did some stuff with Cates, actually.
Did he? He may have.
I want to say.
So, anywho, shoot.
I'm very another well book
I
got to
check out. I haven't. I've seen like the reviews and the headlines for it,
For Murder Falcon?
For Murder Falcon and for Wonder Woman Dead Earth. Those are two books that I should check out.
Yeah, just.
And he also did, Extremity? Is that
Extremity,
the one you were referring
to, Justin? That's what it was.
Also heard really good stuff about that.
So, yeah, I need to check that out. So, anywho. All right, Matt, that's a good show, man. That's a lot of stuff. A lot of comics.
That's a lot of stuff.
A lot of things here. Gabe, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks for hanging out. It was like, first off, I'm super jealous that you have a really cool comic club.
We're meeting on Zoom now, so you guys are free to join.
Oh my gosh, dude, I am not lying. Like off air, we're gonna get that info. I think a comic club is fun, dude. That's fun. Yeah. Wait. I'm like, hold up. The comic club. No one told me about the comic club. That's cool. So real quick, I want to recap.
That's everything. The first rule of comic club, though.
Don't talk about comic club. Yeah, you used to not to. Now it's like, don't talk about comic club. All right, Gabe. So before you go, there's a select few. Before you go, just give us the rundown real quick again on your Kickstarter. And I'm going to put all the info in the show notes, too. So if someone's like, I didn't write that down, we got you covered.
It is called Love at First Bite. So if you search Love at First Bite in Kickstarter, then it will come up. I think that the rest of the tagline on Kickstarter, the headline is romantic comedy one shot with vampires. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, where those where the links to the Kickstarter is also. And I'm at Gabe Chang Comics, all one word, Chang spelled with an E. On Facebook, I'm posting stuff on the For Molly page. So it's at For Molly Comic. For Molly is also the first chapter. For Molly is also available for free at my website, formollycomic.com. And my other podcast is Another Lousy Millennium, where my brother and I discuss, analyze, and summarize all the episodes of Futurama episode by episode. We are in the 10th and final broadcast season. And we're coming to the end, and we're gonna have to pivot to something else very soon. But we're coming to the end of our Futurama analysis, and that's at ALM Pod on Twitter and Facebook, and ALMPod.com.
Awesome, yeah, everybody, go follow Gabe, and then support his work. Get on this Kickstarter because I think you're gonna fall in love. And then For Molly is so fun,
thanks, man.
Go back and listen to those shows. I'll put those in the show notes as well. But yeah, that's a good book as well. And also, Gabe likes pizza. So
yeah,
letting you all know he's a big fan of pizza.
And I've just finished writing the script for For Molly Part 4, and that's like I said, the concluding chapter. And I'm very excited for the changes that I made to my original script. And I'm hoping that I'm gonna stick this landing. But I'm very excited to continue working on that.
Awesome. All right, Matt, how can people follow you? How can people go? You like them comics, huh? You like Donnie Cates?
How do you like these Donnie Cates?
How do you like them Cates?
you can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at J_Rocker. You can follow the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Twitter and Instagram, or you can visit the website at www.letsgopodcast.com, where you can listen to this show and the Let's Go podcast, and you can check out some TV reviews, movie reviews, comic book reviews. Fridays we have our pop culture pairings with a tasty beer, our man Pud up in Canada. He's taking care of you right there, so he's got some good stuff. If you're a Keanu Reeves fan, he's got you covered this week. And so also I want to say on Saturday we will be doing a late night post show of the DC fandom stuff, and so we're gonna be doing that with our friends over at Straight Outta Gotham and the Batman Book Club and the Vigilante 1939 podcast. So we're gonna be hanging out with those guys at nighttime, just kind of giving our thoughts on what was revealed. So if you want to hang out late, maybe late if you're East Coast, West Coast, it won't be as late, but we're gonna be talking about some stuff, and then we'll throw it on the feed as well. So if you're like, I can't stay up and talk about it, we'll get you covered, but it's gonna be fun. We'll have some audience interactions and stuff, so we're gonna have a good time. So there's that. All right, thanks again, Gabe, for being here. That being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.